In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
This is the glorious feast of feasts that we have long awaited for, that humanity has long awaited. And today we rejoice with all the church in heaven and on earth, with all the angels and the whole company of heaven who are gathered here with us, and even you who are watching from home, joining us in this glorious celebration. But as I pondered this, I began to think, and really what I wanted to share with you this morning, just briefly, is the fact that we often lose an aspect of the reality of Christ's resurrection. As glorious and miraculous as that is, God being the only one with the power over life and death, I want us to remember and to acknowledge the unseen aspect, the spiritual aspect of all this. And the fact that Jesus' death and entry into Hades was really an act of spiritual warfare. You know, there's the whole idea that church is just for women and children within our popular culture. But I'm here to tell you and to declare to you today that the church is not for the faint of heart. The church in this celebration is celebrating the victory of spiritual warfare. You see, it really began in the garden, as we know, with the fall of Adam and Eve being seduced by the devil. And we know that one of the curses, among the curses, and of course we know that for man, not only was the image of God, it wasn't totally lost, but it was obliterated. It was diminished. Not only was that image, was it necessary for that image to be restored, but we also know that the fruits of the ground wouldn't come forth as they did in Eden, that only by the sweat of the brow and fighting briars and brambles would we produce fruit. But more significantly, mortality entered the world, death. That's really what the fall of Eden is about. It's about our entrance into death. But for the serpent, that is the devil, who seduced them into this fall, we remember that he is cursed of God. And God told him, on your belly you shall crawl and lick or eat the dust of the earth. Now, the ancients who were reading this certainly understood that snakes literally don't eat dust. They eat mice and rodents and other things like that. But what God was saying to the devil was that his domain would now be the dust of the ground and the underworld. That is Hades. That he would now have dominion over death and hell. God granted that as a curse to the devil. And until the time of Christ's death, every person who had died, both the righteous and the unrighteous, entered Sheol, Hades, hell. So part of what Jesus did in dying upon the cross, being fully human, he also descended into hell. But he did so for a very different purpose. He wasn't being consigned there. He wasn't being judged that that's the place that he should be. But rather, he was on a rescue mission. A rescue mission to search and to destroy. He was breaking down the gates of hell. But more just as importantly, he preached to the captives there. He preached to the captives there in proclaiming the good news of his death, burial, and soon to be resurrection unto everlasting life. And he offered that to those captives within hell. But that proclamation of the gospel was also an act of provocation. An act of provocation to the devil and to all of his demons and minions in that underworld. And it's declaring, you have been defeated. What you thought was your victory in my death, I turn on its head and I'm trampling down death by death. Death is no longer your dominion, devil. And he broke the gates of hell upon his resurrection. And you can see the icons of the resurrection, in which Jesus, bursting forth from the tomb, is also reaching down and grasping Adam and Eve and pulling them out of their tombs. The saints of old have risen with him. And today I declare to you that we are a church by virtue of our baptism, that is, by our death and burial and being joined to Christ, or also being resurrected with Christ. And we are a church that also is a provocative church. It's not just about defending the gospel, and certainly we do that, but it is a church that is on offense. It is a church that is breaking down the gates of hell, of our culture, of our society. We cannot be mamby-pamby about this. Christ's victory calls us to be bold, to be brave, to be Easter people, proclaiming the risen Lord and life everlasting. When we preach or say scripture liturgically, part of what we are doing is not only proclaiming the gospel in an evangelistic way, but we are doing it in a provocative way, just as Jesus did, and provoking the devil and the demons and saying, you're done, you're defeated. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And we need to take the church into the hell of this world. We are facing coronavirus and death. We are facing an uncertain economic future. But in all that, we can rejoice in the joy of the resurrection, in the victory that is ours, because our Lord has declared that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We are warriors. The church and being Christians are really about spiritual warriorhood, about standing firm in the truth of the gospel, despite whatever offense it may bring to the rest of the world. Yes, we do so with love and in charity to all. And we do so and carry out that gospel more in acts of love than we do with words. But let us remember the glorious truth of what we are celebrating this day, that death has been trampled down. In closing, I want to read, which is traditionally done at the Paschal Vigil, the Easter sermon of St. John Chrysostom. This was preached some 1,600 years ago in Constantinople, and it's just as appropriate today as it was then. Are there any who are devout lovers of God? Let them enjoy this beautiful, bright festival. Are there any who are grateful servants? Let them rejoice and enter into the joy of their Lord. Are there any weary from fasting? Let them now receive their due. If any have toiled from the first hour, let them receive their reward. If any of you have come after the third hour, let them with gratitude join in the feast. Those who arrived after the sixth hour, let them not doubt, for they shall not be shortchanged. Those who have tarried until the ninth hour, Let them not hesitate, but let them come too. And those who arrived only at the 11th hour, let them not be afraid by reason of their delay. For the Lord is gracious and receives the last even as the first. The Lord gives rest to those who come at the 11th hour, even as to those who toiled from the beginning. To one and all, the Lord gives generously. The Lord accepts the offering of every work. The Lord honors every deed and commends their intention. Let us all enter into the joy of the Lord. First and last alike, receive your reward. Rich and poor, rejoice together. Conscientious and lazy, celebrate the day. You who have kept the fast and you who have not, rejoice this day, for the table is bountifully spread. Feast royally, for the calf is fatted. Let no one go away hungry. Partake all of the banquet of faith. Enjoy the bounty of the Lord's goodness. Let no one grieve being poor, for the universal rain has been revealed. Let no one lament persistent failings, for forgiveness has risen from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. The Lord has destroyed death by enduring it. The Lord vanquished hell when he descended into it. The Lord put hell in turmoil, even as it tasted of his flesh. Isaiah told this when he said, "You, O hell, were placed in turmoil when he encountering you below." He was in turmoil having been eclipsed. He was in turmoil having been mocked. He was in turmoil having been destroyed. He was in turmoil having been abolished. Hell was in turmoil having been made captive. Hell grasped a corpse and met God. Hell seized earth and encountered heaven. Hell took what it saw and was overcome by what it could not see. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? Christ is risen and you are cast down. Christ is risen and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen and life is set free. Christ is risen and the tomb is emptied of its dead. For Christ, having risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To Christ be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.